the house of God. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, I hope you didn't show up today, you know, under the burden of this season, you know, under a burden of this time of year. You know, you say, well, Pastor, how could we be under a burden this time of year? This is Christmas season. This is supposed to be, you know, the happiest, most joyous time of the year. You know, especially, you know, for the house of God, you would think that this would be absolutely just top time. Well, here's the thing that we have to know and understand. I've seen this just, you know, pastoring these last 12 years, that this time of year can be filled with a lot of pressure and anxiety for people. You know, as they go through demands and obligations to, you know, buy gifts and, you know, to spend a lot of money and to provide, you know, a fun Christmas for their family, and also, you know, all the different places and all the appointments they have to be on. Folks, I've just said, you know, I've seen this over the last 12 years, that this season can be the highest pressure time of the year for Christians. You know, and people will, surprisingly enough, they will get so obligated and get so, focused on other things that all of a sudden they forget why this season is even taking place. You would think that this is a time of year that we should put God more to the forefront. It should be a reminder to go further with Him, but so often it's not that case with people. You know, and I'm just going to be a little bit honest with you here this morning. I can sense some of you that are under that pressure and under that burden that you walk into the house of God, you know, because you've spent all your energy, you know, you've spent your time, you've spent your money, you're doing all this shopping, all these obligations, you know, we're decorating everything, and that's all fine and good. But I tell you what, that is the absolute plan of the enemy to get us distracted, to get us so overpressured that all of a sudden God just is lost in the mix. You know, it's such a shame that people will serve God less in this season, all right? They will give God less in this season. They will praise God less in this season. Let's make sure that does not happen at Family Church, right? Amen. God is first 365 days a year. You know, and we don't let other obligations come and rob the covenant that we have with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you hungry for the word here today? Turn in your Bibles. Go over to Proverbs chapter 29. And then if you want to go and leave a bookmark there or something, we're going to go over to Luke chapter 5 here in just a moment. And today I'm going to call this message Prosperity on Purpose, or you could call it Prosperity for the Purpose. Yeah, you know, a lot of people have come to misunderstand, you know, the message of prosperity out of God's word, but we need to remember this. God wants to prosper our lives. Amen. He wants to prosper our lives, and we need not to forget that. Praise the Lord. And you say, well, Pastor, are you talking about, you know, just, you know, financial prosperity? Well, I'm talking about prosperity that's across the board. God is in covenant with you, and one of His promises and His desires is to absolutely prosper your life. Amen. And, you know, where this message came from, I told you, and I told the students that some of their essays kind of inspired me a little bit, because I was actually in the Bible school this week, and Pastor Nancy Dufresne had asked me to teach on biblical prosperity in their Bible school. And so it was a topic that I've been obviously studying on and feeding on and preaching on, you know, all this week. And so whatever you fill yourself up on, that's what's going to come out when you minister. And as I was doing that, I actually was at the same time reading. I read 31 and graded 31 MTC essays of students that were graduating this time around. And I'm reading, you know, those essays, and their essays happened to be their assignment this semester was an essay on true biblical prosperity. All right, and they were given several books to read, you know, on that subject, and of course we taught a class on it and so on, you know, during that time. But you know, understand, as I was reading that, I started to see, you know, a lot of, you know, themes that reoccur, obviously. And we had taken time to emphasize to our students that prosperity with God always first and foremost begins with obedience and character. Obedience and character. You know, you've heard me say around here many times, cash without character is a curse. If you're going to prosper God's way, you got to have the right character to handle it. And I told the students this week in the Bible school out in California, I made it my theme for the whole week because I taught on two subjects. I taught on biblical prosperity and I taught on home and marriage, all right, in the family unit. And I talked about marriage and I said, regardless of what subject we're teaching on, our theme is going to be the same, that whatever you are on the inside, you will become on the outside. All right. Amen. And we've been talking around here over the last several weeks about how to feed your spirit, about building your spiritual nature and how to grow your spirit. And we saw that in the word that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And of course, a lot of people, we're just feeding our flesh all the time. We're just feeding our minds all the time, but we don't feed our spirit the word of God. And if your spirit is not fed, it won't have the ability to handle God's harvest. It's like this. If I told each of you as individuals today, I said, okay, I brought huge bags of gold coins with me today. And today I'm going to give you 1 minute to go in this building and find the largest surface that you can find. And once you have that surface, I'm going to pour that gold bag of coins over that surface. And whatever stays on the surface, you get to keep. But whatever falls off that surface, you will not get to keep. You understand what I'm saying? All right. And of course, if you had 1 minute to go find something, you'd say, oh, quick, you'd want to go find the biggest table you could find, right? Maybe you'd pick up a chair or you'd pick up one of these tables. You'd want to find the absolute biggest surface that you could find because you know the bigger the surface, the more that will stay on top of there. In the same way, when you grow your spirit, see, you have the time right now. You're growing your spirit, and then when harvest time shows up from God, all right, you want to have a bigger surface, so to speak, where more will stick to you. This is what's happening in so many people's and so many Christians' lives. God is pouring out prosperity. God is meeting all of your needs. He is an abundant God. He said over there, you know, in Psalm 23 says, you know, David said, my cup runneth over. It's overflowing. I can't even contain it all. Right? Sounds like Malachi 3:10. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing. There won't even be room enough to, you know, contain it. Right? Amen. Deuteronomy 8:18. I've given thee power to get wealth that I may establish my covenant with you as I did with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. You know, Galatians 3:13, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. For it is written, you know, for Christ has, you know, become a curse for us, for it's written, you know, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham would come on us through faith. You know, and so many times God's pouring out his prosperity, but people don't have the spiritual size in their spirit, you know, and so it all just kind of flows off to the side. You know, if you went out and you came up to me and I had the bag of coins I was about to pour over you, say, oh, I found my surface. I found a cup coaster. Here it is. Pour the gold coins over that. At the end of that bag of gold coins, how much is going to have stuck to that? Maybe one or two? And there will be all of this that ended up on the floor and goes to waste because the surface area was too small to hold on to the blessing of God. That is what's going on in your spirit. When you don't feed your spirit, when you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, when you don't meditate in the Word of God, amen. See, I realized when I was in California, my wife and I were having a conversation on the phone, and I was realizing it. Do you know so many times biblical prosperity is taught from the side of God? All right? You know, how many of you know we're in covenant with Him? How many of you know He has a part? And we have a part. We are typically, when you hear the prosperity message, you're hearing it from the standpoint of what God says God will do. And, you know, and we tell you the promises of God. All right, let me tell you a few right now, right? Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and He adds no sorrow with it, right? He that meditates in the word, right? Psalm 1:2, verse 3 says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who shall bring forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Amen. Joshua 1:8, don't let the word of God depart from your mouth, All right, but meditate therein day and night, for then you shall have good success, and you shall make your way prosperous. All right? You know, and so over and over and over, God says, I want to prosper you. I want to prosper you. I want to prosper you. But how many of you know that's His side of the covenant? And we look at God and we say, God, you're faithful, and I believe you, and I receive that promise. But can God look at you and say, I trust the promises that come from you? You know, you're faithful. You're trustworthy. See, our character and our obedience, you know, God can make all the promises in the world, but if we don't obey, nothing's going to stick to us. You know what I mean? We look at God, yeah, God's going to do His side of the covenant. So a lot of times, Christians, they're just rejoicing on what God said He would do. But are you rejoicing on your part? Are you a tither? If not, forget it. You don't qualify. Pastor, that's so harsh. Are you a giver? Forget it. You don't qualify. Are you obedient to God? Are you connected to a local church? If not, forget it. You don't qualify. Can God speak to your heart and you obey that command? If not, forget it. You don't qualify. You won't forgive that person that hurt you? Forget it. You don't qualify. Oh, I don't walk in love and I treat everyone harsh and I act like King Kong in my house and mistreat my spouse and all that? Well, guess what? Forget it. You don't qualify. Because prosperity God's way begins with the character of your heart. Because God, honestly, in a way, how can I say this? Of course, He cares about you being well cared for, but it's not the money that is a priority with Him. It's never a priority with God. God's priority is your heart and what your eternal purpose is. All right? It's not about the money. It's about eternal purpose. Are you a person of purpose? Glory to God. As I was reading, you know, through our MTC essays, of course, it's from a book that was required reading during our class. And of course, I'm not here to teach someone's quote as if it's equal to the Word of God. However, it certainly agrees with the Word of God. But Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, he said this, and as I read this quote, and as I thought about it, of course, I've read that book myself a few times, and I was reminded of this quote. When I read this quote, it just ignited a fire in me. And I was out there, and it was in the evening, and I'd already taught in the school. I believe it was Monday night, and I'm sitting there in my hotel room, and I'm reading, you know, and I saw that quote, and it just instantly, the Spirit of God came on me and lighted a fire in me, and I knew that I had a message for those students that next morning that was not on the scheduled programming. And so I just started seeking God, say, Father, I hear you. When something lights up in your heart like that, that is your cue. God, you got something for me. You got something for me. And start asking about it. Father, what is that? What do you have? What do you want me to say? And I just said to the Lord, I said, you have to show me that in the Word. I want to see an example. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, Luke chapter 5. And I heard that, and that was my cue to study that. And so that's the foundation of where this message comes from. All right. Here's that quote from Brother Hagin. Are you ready? Listen to this, and this is one to hold on to for the ages. He said, there is no lasting joy in things money can buy, and any prosperity without eternal purpose leads to disappointment and dissatisfaction. I'm going to say it again. There's no lasting joy in the things money can buy, and that prosperity without eternal purpose leads to disappointment and dissatisfaction. I'm going to say it again because I see a lot of pens moving. There's no lasting joy in things that money can buy, and that prosperity without eternal purpose leads to disappointment and distraction. Wow. And when I heard that, you know, and I read that quote, it just ignited something in my heart, and I said, that's exactly it right there. There's the difference why money is not the variable that determines prosperity. Purpose is the variable that determines prosperity. Because God is going to prosper those people of eternal purpose. Come on. You know why you look around and you see these celebrities that have everything? They have all this money. They have all the world's good. But they're all so dissatisfied in life. They're all disappointed in life. You know why? Because they don't live with eternal purpose. You know, you see people that their marriages can fall apart and all this, and yet they have all the money in the world, yet they're never satisfied because they don't have eternal purpose. See, we have to understand the very heart of this quote is telling us money is not the purpose. I am not on this earth to seek and live for the desire of money. I am on this earth to find God's eternal purpose for my life. Nothing else matters. And when I get into that eternal purpose and I live with an eternal mentality, all the prosperity I need to fulfill that purpose is going to show up in my life. Glory to God. This is why, have you ever seen people, great men and women of God, that have just gone on to accomplish great things? And it's amazing how God uses them. I mean, we just quoted Kenneth Hagin, you know, take his life, for example. I mean, look at the campus, the Bible school, and, you know, the churches and the network and the Bible schools all around the world, you know, that sprung up under his ministry. I mean, I've been to that campus, and you see that, and you hear about all these Bible schools all over the world, and literally thousands and thousands of churches that have sprung up around the world because God, you know, could use a faithful man like that. And, you know, of course, you know, Reverend Hagin was obviously well taken care of financially, but you know what? How many of you know that money wasn't his purpose? That prosperity was showing up because he had purpose. Glory to God. I mean, you could take a Billy Graham. You know, you could take, I mean, even people we know, like Pastor Nancy Dufresne, Dr. Dufresne, you know, Pastor Michael, you know, and the leadership of these churches that are springing up. You know, you could see right here in this ministry, in this church, you know, how it a purpose is number one, right? And when people are filled with eternal purpose, that prosperity is going to show up around them. Yeah, money is not my bullseye. I sure hope it's not yours. Yeah, but yet there's people that will take jobs that will take them out of church. Why? Because money's their bullseye. Because their purpose is themselves. Oh, praise the Lord. This is why people are so dissatisfied in life. They are not seeking eternal purpose. They don't use their money for eternal purpose. They don't use their time for eternal purpose. They don't praise with eternal purpose. Come on now. See, these people, when you see like a Billy Graham, or you see, you know, like a Brother Hagin, or these great men of God, God just gave them these big assignments, and they just kept marching forward, regardless of the money that it took to fund their ministries. It's like they were not intimidated by the price tag. You know, I like to say it, they stood up to money. Money didn't tell those great men and women of God what to do on this earth. Whether it was Smith Wigglesworth, whether it was Dr. Lester Summerall, whether it was Kenneth E. Hagin, you know, these great men of God and women of God, it's like they just kept moving forward regardless of the price tag of what it costs. You know, we didn't stop just because of the price tag of this building. Because when God's purpose is in it, money is no match. Money is no match for the purpose. When you find God's purpose for your life and he starts leading you into better things, when he starts leading you into bigger things, listen, as long as you know God is in it, the price tag doesn't stop you.
That's right.
Money is not my master. Money doesn't tell me what I can have or can't have.
That's right.
I'm based on eternal purpose.
That's right.
Yeah, I watched Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and ever since starting with Dr. Dufresne, that man was so mission-minded.
Yeah.
It was just like you could not stop that guy. It was just always this project. We got the Bible school. We're building this church. We're doing this. Let's get on this building. I mean, he would get the cement in the ground for one project, and he'd already be talking about the next project. I mean, why? It was like, you know, and naturally you could think, well, doctor, I mean, you got to pay for that somehow. You know what I mean? Just naturally think, well, where's the money going to come from for that? I mean, my goodness, you're still paying this one. Where's this? See, he was eternal purpose led. He didn't keep his mind on the money. He didn't look at the money. He just kept on going because he knew as long as he just kept following the purpose, the prosperity was going to show up. Come on now. This is why people are getting so pressured during this season, is that they're allowing things to, you know, they're allowing self-purpose and obligation take them away from the eternal purpose. Come on now. And so when I see people that stand up to money, they weren't and aren't intimidated by what something costs. They're bold. They're always moving forward. They're always taking more ground. They're building new buildings. They're always advancing. They're never stopping. Why? Because they are people of purpose. Folks, there's more churches to come out of this one. You know, Mayville and Tonawanda and Erie, that's just the start. There's more. There's more pastors that are sitting in our midst here today that God's going to raise up and call them and move them to a forefront in their ministry to pastor the people of God. Amen. How many of you know we're not just sitting here with the purpose of just what's in this room? Come on, there's more purpose. Glory to God, which also means there's more funding for that purpose. I've just decided that if God has an eternal purpose here and there's more churches to be planted, he's going to need, you know, folks that the prosperity will flow through to get to his purpose. I've decided right now, and actually years ago, to be a kingdom builder. To be a kingdom builder. I am on this earth to promote and to prosper the plan of God. Glory to God. So that's why I'm not stopping. Are you going to stop? No, come on now. Praise the Lord. The more you have purpose, you will be funded in this life. Yeah, glory to God. You know, these are people that take ground with the violence of their faith. You know, I'm just going to say it that way. You know, I don't mean like a physical violence, but their faith is so aggressive. I watch Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and it just amazes me to the point where I watch her and I hear the confessions of her faith of, you know, different buildings and projects and all this stuff that God, you know, I'm just thinking, wow, look at that woman. Her faith is just taking ground. Just taking ground. We're going to do that. And then we're going to do that. And we're going to do that. And we're going to do that. Who cares how many millions it costs? Why? Because she's like, that's heaven's plan. And when there's eternal purpose connected to what you're doing, God's going to fund it. Praise the Lord. Just start taking ground for God. You know, and you say, well, Pastor, I just don't have that kind of purpose. Well, the good news is you're connected to a church that does. You don't have to invent the purpose. Get connected to somewhere or somebody that does. Let me show you this. You're in Proverbs chapter 29. You probably thought I forgot. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. We're going to go over there. See, do you know why these people keep moving forward and they don't care about the price or the cost of things? You know why? Because money is not the price they paid to be where they're at. They paid the price in the spirit. They paid the price in prayer. They paid the price in faithfulness. They paid the price when they went through seasons of absolute nothing. They've already walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and they've seen the temptations and the trials of the enemy. Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, and it wasn't the price they paid. Dr. Dufresne wasn't used the way he was used because he had money. He came out of nothing. You know, and he just kept following the purpose. You know, and of course, many of you remember the stories. You know, he was called and he had to obey God. He built a church building for a church in Southern California. He was a contractor and a foreman. They couldn't even afford to build their church. And so in good faith, he just kept working, not getting paid at all. But God spoke to him and said, build that church building. He was not making any money. He had used all of his own money. He had nothing. He couldn't even go to the grocery store and feed his little girls at the time. He would go behind a grocery store and he'd wait for them to set out the expired food. And he would live on, you know, the bread that was expired and the other, you know, the dented cans of soup and all this stuff. They would set that out and he knew a guy there and he said, hey, when you set that out, can I have it? That was how he fed his family while he's obeying the eternal purpose of God. And yet so many Christians today, if it gets a little uncomfortable, they give up that purpose. How purpose-minded are you? See, these people, when you have seen in the Spirit, when you've heard the voice of God, what God wants to do with your life, nothing stops you. Nothing's going to stand in your way. Nobody's going to stand in your way. And money sure is not going to dictate what you do for God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Why? Proverbs 29 in verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And of course, the rest of it says, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Or you could say, he that keeps the word, happy is he. It's the word, the law of God, the word of God. Okay, so notice keeping the word of God is going to obviously help your life. But it's the first half of the verse that we're looking at. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That word vision is synonymous with the word purpose. Where there is no eternal purpose, the people perish. That word perish doesn't mean to just die physically. That word perish means to go without. It literally is the Hebrew word that means to go naked. Well, that'll wake you up on a Sunday morning, somebody. You know, and the word nakedness here is used in reference to having nothing. It's a reference to poverty. It's a reference to lack. All right? Where there is no eternal purpose, the people are going to financially lack. They're going to be brought to poverty because they're not connected to any eternal purpose. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And so if you don't have that eternal purpose, listen, that's okay. Get connected to your local church. That is why it is so essential to be connected to a local church, and not just some local church, but a local church with vision. A local church with purpose. Glory to God. Say, well, Pastor, what is the purpose of the family churches, and especially this family church? Well, I'll tell you what it is. The purpose of this church is to feed God's people, to raise up a group of strong believers that will witness to their community, that will also raise up other Bible-teaching local churches around this region so people can come in and hear the word like you're hearing this morning. I want to be connected to that. You know why? Because connected to that purpose, there are souls. There are souls. You know, and when we say this, this isn't a family church commercial, because thank God there's others that are doing, you know, great things too. This isn't like, oh, look, at we're better than anybody, because we're certainly not. That's not the idea. But I'll tell you what, this church has purpose. It has purpose. And see, I need the purpose that is flowing from the pulpit of my local church. I need the vision of my pastor. You know, Pastor Michael is the one that God began to give the vision for the family churches to. I got connected to my pastor because without that vision, I'm going to perish. I'm not serving in just my own vision or the vision that happened to come through me. Now, of course, there's purpose that comes through each pastor and each church. But overall, I'm still connected to one who has that vision. And notice that my life is affected to what purpose I'm connected to. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to perish. I don't want to die young in life. I don't want to go without in this life. I don't want to live a life of poverty, you know, and never have enough. That's not God's plan, because God's eternal purpose always funds itself. That's why we say money is no match for eternal purpose. And all of a sudden, if you go from, you know, a place where you are just constantly living in lack, I don't mean you're just being tested, but if your life is defined by lack, somewhere you miss the eternal purpose. See, where does poverty come from? It comes from a lack of vision. What is the solution to all poverty in this world? It's the gospel. You know why? Because the gospel has vision, it has purpose. And you're going to see that the gospel feeds the mouth of those that are faithful to it. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I told you to you know, hold your place over there in Luke chapter 5. Go over here and we'll hear what the Spirit of God had given me for this message. And I just knew when I preached it in the Bible school this past week, I knew that I'd be preaching it in my church. And so, praise the Lord. say, well, but pastor, I just gotta, you know, I'm trying to find enough hours at work. I'm trying to make this money. You know, I'm just doing this, I'm doing that. Well, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, of course we need a job in this life, but is there eternal purpose in it? Is that what God told you to do? Oh, but pastor, I got to take a second and a third job, you know, because I can't be in church anymore because I got to pay the bills. See, you're going to be dissatisfied and disappointed in life. See, because that money is now your purpose. That money is now your purpose. You know, when my wife and I, when we were asked to pastor this church, when God called us in, you know, into pastoring, many of you have heard the story. I'm not going to go into the details. But at 27 years old, we had the opportunity of making over $150,000 a year. You know, my wife was invited into a lucrative position in a company. I was a school teacher, and then I was asked to pastor, and I was given the option to make a salary here, make a salary at the school, and combined with my wife's salary in our 20s in this area to make $150,000 a year. But the plan of God that he spoke to our heart to do was my wife stay home with kids and me to give up our teaching job. And so we went from a potential $150,000 a year to making $20,000 a year. Why? Because money wasn't our purpose. The purpose was eternal. And because we were faithful, and listen, I'll just tell you right now, our income still isn't that. You know, and you know, I'm what, 1 year shy of being 40 years old. But I tell you what God has done in between with our children, with every area in life, our peace and our joy. My wife and I were never dissatisfied. Our marriage is heaven on earth. Our churches are heaven on earth. Praise the Lord. And our finances are heaven on earth. Say, well, pastor, what do you mean? You're making less money than you could have 12 years ago. It's not the money. It's the purpose. What is the purpose of God for your life? Amen. Without vision, the people perish. You know, that's why, you know, one reason why God could call me up to pastor, because when I was serving, you know, in Pastor Michael's vision in this church, I was like, pastor, what do you need me to do? Well, we need a children's church helper. Okay. I was a children's church helper here. You know, oh, we need a worship leader. Oh, dear Lord, deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. And I was the praise and worship leader in this church for a combined, what, 3.5-4 years in there in different intervals, you know, throughout the ages. And I'll tell you what, I mean, that just made my skin crawl. And it made yours crawl probably a little bit too if you were here then, you know. But why? It was purpose. Because I want to be connected to the purpose of my local church. Amen. Come on now. Why are these people, why are these guys up there in the audio video today? Because they're serving with purpose. Don't you think that just naturally they would like to be sitting down here where you are? But they're serving. What are those people doing in that nursery in the KA and LA classrooms right now? They're serving with purpose. What are those parking lot guys doing out there in the morning? They're serving with purpose. You know, when you see our worship team, they're serving with purpose. Our ushers, serving with purpose. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Go to Luke chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. See, you better get connected to somewhere or someone that has purpose. You better see that vision. You better contribute to that vision. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God I got connected to a place with vision and with purpose, because now I'm never unhappy. I'm never dissatisfied. I've never been disappointed. Say, well, pastor, have you ever been tested? Yeah, I've been tested. But I've never been disappointed. Not in the 12 years that I've pastored, in the 16 years that I've been walking with God, I have never been disappointed. You know, God, meaning, what do I mean by that? God's never failed to show up. He's never failed to show up. Praise the Lord. Luke 5 and verse 1. Let's get to this. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And so Jesus is right there on the lake edge, and people are crowding around him to hear his sermon that day. All right. And I'm just going to spare you the suspense. Jesus is going to perform a financial miracle that day. And you're going to see, what's the first principle here of a financial miracle? They were pressing upon him. They were pressing upon him. They were so eager and hungry to hear the word that Jesus kept having to back up, make more room until his ankles are literally in the water. He has nowhere else to go. The churches in America today, you know, everyone just, you know, no one's pressing like that. You know, and of course, in a congregation this side, you know, we're going to have to make room for everybody. So there's going to be people in the front seats and people in the back seats, no matter what, right? But what if these seats up here were the most coveted? What if people pressed? People will show up an hour early to a sporting event. They'll show up early for movies. They will show up all these places of priority, and they press to the front or they get to the best seats. What if the people of God had that mentality where we started pressing? I'm so hungry. I want to sit closer. I want to be more attentive. Amen. Glory to God. They pressed upon their preacher that day. And Jesus, of course, had to back up into that water. And it says in verse 2, and Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And Jesus entered into one of the ships, or the boats, which was Simon's, or Peter's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, Jesus sat down, and taught the people out of the ship. Think about that. So it's a pretty amazing day. You have the seaside for your church, you have the boat for your pulpit, and you have Jesus for your preacher. That's what boaters call a good day on the water, right there. Okay. In verse 4, now when Jesus had left speaking, he said unto Simon, that's Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. That means he's going to try to catch some fish. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So Peter gets done listening to Jesus' sermon. And Jesus says, all right, now go out there. Let's put those nets down. And Peter says, Master, there's no use. We've been doing this all night. We haven't even caught one fish. How many of you know, for a fisherman, Peter is facing real lack? Are you here today? Okay, how many of you know prosperity is not exactly going Peter's direction right here? He said, Master, we've been out here all night long and have caught nothing. But at your word, I will let the net go down again. Yes. What was shifting? Peter's purpose was changing. That's good. He was changing the purpose. Peter said, you know what? When we were doing this for our own purpose, nothing was happening. Right. When Peter was out there all night fishing, what was his purpose? To catch fish, to sell, and to make money. He was out there that night to, obviously, he was there for his own natural purposes. He was there to catch fish, to sell at market, to make money for his own purpose. And look what his own purpose got him. Nothing. It did get him something. It got him toil. Says he's like, Master, we've been toiling all night at this. Not only did we catch nothing, but we hated doing it. But now, since my purpose has now gone from myself, and now my purpose has gone to your word, let's try this again. Come on now. What was Jesus doing? He was giving Peter an opportunity to change his purpose and to make up for the finances that he lost.
There you go. Very good.
You can toil on your own every day, all day. You can take two or three extra jobs trying to make money and toil and do it yourself. But if God's word and his purpose isn't in it, it's going to come to nothing. Some Christians, you know, they'll jump out and they'll start things, or they'll do things. They'll take a job, or they'll take a business, or they'll take this and that. And if God's purpose is not attached to it, it's going to come to nothing. It's going to come to nothing if his purpose isn't in it. Oh, praise the Lord. Why? What's the prosperity for? Is God just trying to make you glamorous rich? So people look at you and say, wow, they're famous and they're awesome. No, he's given you prosperity for the purpose. I understand when prosperity comes to me, it is to fund the gospel in my local church. Amen. Verse 5 represents the moment when Peter's purpose changed. His purpose was no longer the money. His purpose was now God's word. Big difference. Verse 6. Here comes the financial miracle. You know what's going to happen. And when they had this done, or when they did this, I like that. When they made that change, when their purpose was no longer their job or their income, their purpose was eternal. When this was done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Is that proper grammar? I'm not so sure. Probably is. It's the Bible anyhow, so it is. Right? They enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net was breaking. Yes. It sounds out like when God pours out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. What was happening here? Peter was just getting a harvest on the seed he sowed. Yes. What was the seed he sowed? Jesus had use of his boat. Whatever Jesus needed, Peter said, here I am to provide it. Come on now. And so they all of a sudden, they have so much fish, the net is breaking. Verse 7. It's not only just one net. They beckoned unto their partners, which happened to be James and John, by the way, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships with fish, so that both ships started to sink. I hear so many broke Christians who say, I'm sinking in this life. I'm just not going to make it. They were sinking with so much abundance. Oh, my goodness. How many of you would like to have that issue? Yes. All right. And so how many of you know, once the purpose in Peter's heart changed, the fish came. Why? Because those fish were for the purpose. But when that purpose was, when they were just out there for their own purpose, it was the same lake. It was the same place. So many people, they think, I have to be somewhere in order to prosper. How many people have come to me and say, Pastor, we know we're supposed to be in this church. Our child was healed in this church. We've had miracles happen in this church. But we got to move to Arizona because that's where the jobs are. We got to move to South Carolina because we got to get a job. We got to move to here. We got to move to there. As soon as I hear that, they're letting go of their purpose. They're letting go of the purpose because they thought the job, they're chasing money as a purpose. And I'm just telling you, the result, even if they make good money there, they will be disappointed and dissatisfied. They will wonder why the grace has gone, because money is not what produces satisfaction. Purpose does. Glory to God. And God just said, well, Peter, you filled, your heart, your purpose changed. And so, God, of course, filled their boats. And of course, Peter and the others were going to go and sell those fish, right? Verse 8, look what happened to Peter's life. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. God's blessing convicted Peter's heart. What was this? Peter was humbled at the prosperity of God. See, money without eternal purpose will lead to pride, and it will destroy you. But when you follow God and watch the goodness of God work on your life, it'll humble you before God. Come on, who said that prosperity cannot humble a heart? It can if it's done God's way. Oh, it can if it's done God's way. How many of you know what I'm talking about when you see the goodness of God? What is it over there? Psalm 27:13. What did David say? He said, I would have quit. The King James says fainted. I would have quit unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. The land of the living. He didn't say, oh, I'll just believe God when I get to heaven in the sweet by and by. He said, I would have quit unless I would have keep bringing my faith. Yes. Good. Come on. What was David saying? He said, I kept to the purpose, and I would have quit unless I believed God was going to show up in this life and bless me. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. See, some people, you're sitting here and you think that we're preaching about money. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're preaching about purpose. We're preaching about purpose. See, this is what has gone wrong in the prosperity gospel that's being preached on most of Christian TV today. They're just preaching, you know, God wants to do this, God wants to do that, God wants to do this, which is true. God does want to do that, but that's his side. They don't preach the manward side. The manward side is to be connected to purpose, to be sold out to God, to follow him no matter how good it looks today. See, you hear me say all the time in this church, what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? See, people with purpose, they don't care if a good feeling is hard to find today. My purpose does not change with my feelings. But Christians who will be brought down and reduced to poverty, they are constantly following God based on how they feel. When it feels good, it must be working. And the devil, once the devil can get you addicted to good feelings, he'll make sure you have a shortage of them. Because when the good feeling is gone, so many times, so is the believer. See, from this moment on, Peter was going to become a man of purpose. The purpose weren't the fish anymore or the money anymore. The purpose is going to be the gospel. And he humbled Peter. He just humbled himself. He fell to his knees and said, Lord, you are so good to me. Your goodness is so overwhelming, it makes me feel evil. You ever had that experience? Father, you're so faithful. How can I thank you for what you've done in my life? If you've never had that experience, I pity you. You know, I can't imagine not having that moment. When you see the goodness of God, when God's prosperity, when he does something and prospers your life, it is to draw us closer to him. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And see, this is what eternal purpose does. It funds the purpose and draws your heart closer to him. So you can tell when people are chasing their own self-prosperity, right? Because it falls short. It disappoints them. Okay? It dissatisfies them and pushes them away from God. You can see when it pushes them away from God because it's like, well, I can't go to church anymore. I can't come to church on Wednesday nights. I can't serve anymore because I got this job and this job. I had to take this because I got to pay this bill and I got to fund a Christmas and I got to do all this. People just start obligating themselves to everything except the plan of God. See, now their purpose is wrong. And when your purpose is wrong, everything else is going to fall apart. Everything else is going to fall apart. Well, praise the Lord. Trying to help you here. Go to verse 11. As we get ready to close here, it says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they, Peter, John, and James, forsook all and followed him. They said, you know what? We're not going to follow the money anymore. We're going to follow the gospel. We're going to give our lives to the purpose and not to the money. This is why people are showing up for Wednesday afternoon prayer if they can. You know, they're showing up because why? They want to be part of that purpose. Amen. This is why people show up on Wednesday nights, because it's the purpose. The purpose leads and directs my life. All right? The money does not lead and direct my life. All right? Praise the Lord. Have you had this moment with God? Have you had that moment where your purpose changed from money and things to him? Have you had that moment? You know, now can you bring up real quickly, you can turn there. I mean, you're just right next door. Go over to Mark's gospel. Go over to Mark chapter 10 and verse 29. Say, well, Pastor, I just don't believe this. I just don't believe, you know, God wants to prosper me. Yes, he does. But if you're not going to be a person driven by purpose, you don't qualify. And we're not probably going to get to it today, but I have down here on my notes, I have 7 symptoms of people with purpose. Things that people do when you can see purpose on their life. Well, perhaps that's next week's sermon. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's Wednesdays. I don't keep the messages separate. Say, well, Pastor, don't you have Sunday messages and Wednesday messages? No, my job is to feed this church. Well, Pastor, I don't come on Wednesdays. Not my problem. Pastor, that sounds so jerky and it sounds so insensitive. Folks, I love you with an eternal love. I'll do anything to move you closer to God. God's going to deliver your mail here, but if you're not there to pick it up, a pastor can't change that. Amen. Do you know what? And of course, again, here he goes with a family church commercial. If you stay around here long enough, you'll see there's no gimmicks here. I will not personally, you know, hunt you down and beg you to be in our services. I don't do that at all. Because when the people are here under their own fruition, you know, they're here and they're hungry and they pull on God and they do the word, their lives will be blessed. My job is to make sure that I am delivering the word of God accurately. All right? Say, well, Pastor, you know, I didn't come for a couple weeks and you never called me to ask where I was. I don't do that. Because if you have to sweet talk people into being faithful for God, it won't last. It won't last. You know, the problem with seeker-sensitive churches today, they're trying to sweet talk people in. You can't do that. You have to give them a bold, uncompromised word. You got to give them an opportunity to know God fully. You need to light the candle of their spirit. When they hear the word of God in an uncompromised manner, they'll start to get hungry for that. And the word must draw them. Because if I'm just drawing you through all these sweet cards and invitations and coffee breaks and stuff like that, that's going to run out. That's going to run out. Jesus said the heavens and the earth will pass away. But he said, my word will not pass away. And so that's why it's no gimmicks. You know, it's like, where's our laser lights? Don't do it here. Because if you're here for the entertainment of our worship team, it ain't going to last. You know why? Because you'll get used to that. Well, we need this and that. We need all this. No, you'll get used to it. We go and spend $100,000 on some new whirly gigs and smoke machines and all that. Woo! Yeah, that makes me want to go there. And then you'll get used to it. And then we'll have to come up with a new trick to get you back. And then when you get used to that, then we'll have to try a new trick. See, no tricks. Just the uncompromised, unbridled, unadulterated Word of God. Amen. You know, that's the goal. That's how simple our vision here is. Preach the Word. And the Bible says, let the Word give the increase. Let the Word give the increase. Amen. Why? Eternal purpose.
That's it.
Eternal purpose. People are going to float around. You know, people bounce around, float around, but when the people, when they sit in the seats and they grow eternal roots, that's when you see them blossom. You know, when I was in California with all that wind, and we're out there kind of in the desert, we're east of, southeast of Los Angeles, out there in the desert and all those desert mountains and all that. I mean, I just watched tumbleweeds blowing right through town. We'd be on a busy street and you'd have this big 3-foot tumbleweed just blowing through and, oh, comes in front of the car. You know, and you know my illustration, I've used it many times. It reminds me of a lot of Christians. They're just blowing on the wind. They chase every wind of doctrine. They chase every wind of entertainment. They chase every wind of something that makes them comfortable or convenient. And see, and then when the wind blows, they're just unstable. They're just bouncing through life. But in California, they have these beautiful oaks there. It's literally called the California Oaks. And I'm watching these tumbleweeds blow around, but I look at those big oak trees, and they're just steady. It's the same wind blowing on that tree that it is on that tumbleweed. The only difference is the roots. The roots. Praise the Lord. And let's get ready to wrap this up. Mark 10 in verse 29. You know, folks, don't ever confuse boldness for being rude. Yeah. We need men and women of God that are going to be bold. Amen. And they can't be concerned like, oh, they're gonna think I'm rude or whatever. I'm not trying to be rude, just being bold. Verse 29, it says, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Notice Jesus says, for my sake and for the gospel. How many of you know the word sake is another way of saying my purpose? He said, they have inconvenienced themselves for me. Their family was inconvenienced for me. They gave away things that they enjoyed. They were sacrificial. Yeah. He said, for the purpose of my gospel. Look at verse 30. Here you go. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Not in heaven. Not in eternity, he said, but in this time, because they've served me with an uncompromised commitment of covenant, he said, they shall receive 100-fold in this time houses, plural. Wow, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions. With persecutions. You know why? Because people aren't going to throw a party for you when God prospers you. If you're waiting for somebody to be a cheerleader for you, because God's blessing you, they won't. He said, people won't like it, but it's from God. And in the world to come, eternal life. He said, in this time, God says, because they sold out to my purpose, I'm going to reward them with new friendships, with new family. Amen. I'm going to reward them with new houses. I'm going to reward them with new lands. And of course, in the world to come, eternal life. But notice, what produced that prosperity? Purpose. The gospel. You know, the Lord's plan. And so, you know, we have to understand that prosperity, what's it for? It's for the purpose. Where does it come from? It comes from a person of purpose. You know, if you want to prosper God's way, you better be a person where eternal purpose is first and foremost in your life. I'll tell you what, this is saving your life right now. This answers the question so many times. Well, I don't get it. How come it doesn't work? Eternal purpose. You know, someone that prays, they have eternal purpose. You know, someone that gives, they give with eternal purpose. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, and so when I read that quote, it lit up in my heart, and the Spirit of God said, Luke chapter 5. You know, when he said that, and I as soon as I just started reading through the chapter, as soon as I saw verse 5 where Peter said, but for your word. Yeah. His purpose was himself. And when it was for himself, he toiled. Yeah. See, but when God got involved, when it was eternal purpose, he had grace for it. Yeah. And he prospered God's way. Did you get some help here today? Yeah, you need to ask yourself, have you come to that moment like Peter and say, Father, I'm sold out to your purpose. A lot of Christians are scared to say that to God. Father, whatever you want me to do, I submit myself before you. Your plan is blessed. I don't care what the circumstances look like. I don't care what it brings me away from or brings me to. Father, I pray your plan is revealed and I am walking in it in my life. That's what it looks like, folks. All right? And then when your eternal purpose, you'll be like those people. You just keep taking ground with your local church. You're hooked to the purpose of your local church because vision is what's driving you. Money's not. A lot of Christians, they don't even know it, but money's their master. How do you know it's their master? Because they will chase the money. They'll chase the money. They'll move around. I mean, imagine that. They won't get up for church on time on a Sunday morning, but they will move across the nation for a job. They won't serve in the ministry of helps, but they'll move to Georgia to follow a job. Come on, I'm preaching to you now. Oh, people, you know why? Because people look at the house of God as gimme, gimme, gimme. Purpose, purpose, purpose. Pastor, don't you know it's Christmas? This is the season for mercy. God loves you here today because it's amazing what people do. They will drive across country. They will move. They will go anywhere and do anything. They will work 70, 80, 90 hours a week. They'll do anything just chasing money as their purpose. Yeah, and they didn't chase the purpose of God. Well, and they, you know, oh, I won't make it to church in time for the first praise and worship song, but I'll move down to Florida if a job is better. Folks, I love you. Do you feel loved here today? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Father God, we love you. We praise you. You are so faithful and good to us. And Father, your promises are amazing. Your promises are amazing. You said that we would bear fruit in our season. Our leaves would never wither, and whatsoever we do will prosper. And Father, we preach your promises, but do we ever talk about our side? Our side of obedience, our side of faithfulness, our side of covenant, our side of submitting to eternal purpose. Father, we understand it's a uncompromised message here this morning. And Father, we understand that some of these things, they hit hard and they hit close to home. And Father, when we hear these things, we know that it's not you trying to pound us down. It's you trying to lift us up. trying to give us revelation of our own hearts, Father, so that we can make adjustments and corrections. Father, I'm going to speak for myself, and I believe I'm speaking for many here this morning. We want to be people of eternal purpose. Father, I want to follow your plan. I will never be happy with anything else. I'll never be satisfied, Father, until I know that I'm in your perfect will and that that my steps are ordered, that I'm in the right place at the right time. And Father, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it takes me to or takes me from, Father, I commit myself. And Father, I know many are with this morning. We commit ourselves for your plan. A full consecration. Fully sold out. Fully obedient. And Father, we just give you the praise. We give you all the glory. With eyes closed and all heads bowed, before we dismiss today, the most important question anyone could ever ask you: have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you done what Romans 10:9 says, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved? Let me ask you again, are you saved and do you know it? Have you completely committed your life to Christ? And if that answer is no, or if that answer is I don't know, then don't leave here until you know you have eternal life. The Bible says in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Heaven and hell are both real places. And God has done everything he can to keep anybody and everybody out of hell. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, who took the punishment that we deserved for our sins. And 3 days later, he rose again. And so there's no reason for anyone to ever go there. But the good news is, heaven is real, and God made it for you. And if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I want to commit my life to him. If that's you, eyes are closed, heads are bowed, I'm just simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I will lead this entire congregation in a prayer. Right there in your seat, you can pray and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But if that's you today, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone within the sound of my voice that you know you need to call out for the Lord and invite him into your heart? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there any others? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. He's not mad at you. Is there anyone else that you'd say, yes, Pastor, I need the Lord's salvation? When this life is over, you're going to want to be standing with Jesus on your side. He's done everything he can to get your attention. He paid the price for you, and now you just need to invite him in. Well, we've had a couple people lift their hands here today. It's not the lifting of the hand that gets you saved. It's the opening of your heart. Is there anybody else here before we pray that you'd say, yes, Pastor, I want to know Jesus? This isn't Family Church's idea. This is the Bible's idea. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front today or anything like that, but right there in your seat, praise God. We had a couple of hands. And so if you lifted your hand this morning, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Speak these words to God from your heart. He will hear you. He will grant you eternal life, and your life will begin with him. He just loves you. Let's all go ahead and pray this together. Everyone say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, there's nothing better when people give their lives to Christ. It's just the most exciting thing that can ever happen in our midst. Amen. Did you get some help here today? Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. And folks, right after we dismiss, I'm going to be up here at the pulpit. If you're visiting today and I have not had a chance to meet and greet with you, please come on up and say hello. For those of you that lifted your hands and received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I do have some materials for you, a little book that helps answer some questions right out of the Bible for you if you have, you know, questions about the decision you've made today. And of course, if I just haven't had a chance to say hello to you recently, I'm going to be up here. Please come on up and see me. Let's go ahead and just praise God for a moment. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. Father, I command your hand of blessing upon those that are here today. And Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen.